Johnny and Inel on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, gosh, we're back, Johnny, we're back.
Back with a bang.
Back with a big bang. Oh, my gosh. Yes, Johnny and Inel back on FUBAR Radio for Live and Loud.
I'm actually a bit giggly. I'm quite pleased to be back.
It's nice, isn't it? I mean, no one's adjusted my seat or anything.
No, I'd literally just found the same pen I must have left in here last time. So that says that since we've been away, no one's been here.
They just look off the room. They're like, that's Johnny and Inel's.
Absolutely.
Don't go in there.
Yeah.
Do you have authority? Do you have authorisation?
Exactly. It's like... Don't walk over our graves. We're not dead yet, so we're back with a bang. That's the bang.
I did miss doing this.
The fans have actually been calling for it as well. I mean, we've had a couple of tweets of going, where are you guys? Where are you?
I know, people are like, what's going on? What am I going to do on my Thursday at 4 o'clock? And I was like, chill out.
Yeah, get a life.
We didn't say that.
We wouldn't.
No.
But we were up in Edinburgh, weren't we?
It was fun up there, man. It was a long run.
Yeah, we all had a long run. Took it out of us. But no, we had a couple of like podcast sessions up there, live from Edinburgh, didn't we?
We did. We bumped into Mr. Dave Benson Phillips.
Yep, get your own back, Styly.
AKA my dad.
AKA risky paternity. We're not sure.
Where was you 31 years ago?
Exactly. Well, it is 31, isn't it?
Tomorrow's my birthday, mate.
Oh, dear.
What have you got for me?
No, that's it's very funny that you say that. There are issues with the delivery service now.
Royal Mail and that.
Absolutely. It's a special one. It's a special one. Have you got parking by your house? Have you?
Yeah.
For a new car? Have you?
Yeah, I do.
Good. Nothing to do with the present I've got. Just checking. Good.
It's a new Oyster card holder, isn't it?
It's something like that, or free. It's definitely free anyway, yeah. So you enjoyed Edinburgh?
I loved it, man. It was, the atmosphere up there is amazing. It's like, especially during the festival, people like just proper friendly. There's so much to see and do. It's you're on a constant high, man.
Okay. Good. Did you have a little crash back to reality since you've been back?
I've been hibernating at home since I got back. I was like, this is my first time at the house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is it.
You look like a man who hasn't seen outside for a little while, to be fair. So look, got a touch of Tom Hanks out of Castaway, right?
and the thing, I shaved as well, didn't I?
Oh,
I was a gorilla earlier on.
He walked into the studio with a football with a handprint on his face.
It's the only person I've seen.
Don't you dare talk to Wilson like that.
So, for the people who are not familiar with the show, shame on you, first of all.
Oh, my. What? Hold on. There's people listening that don't know about the show?
Yeah, there's people out there. You know, at the end of the day, 7 billion people on this planet.
Yeah.
And I'd say that at least 6.9 billion plus about 900 million as well on top of that, just absolutely disgraceful. They have no idea about the show.
Shame on them.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can live their lives, you know.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna have to update them, okay? So, if you don't know, this is Johnny and Inel live and loud.
Live and loud.
Live and loud with Johnny and Inel on FUBAR Radio.
So unnecessary, wasn't it?
Who is that guy?
But it is Johnny and Inel live and loud. That's with me, Johnny. Johnny.
You've got the button placement down to a T now. Look at it. Before you used to mess it up. Now it's like, you're not even looking at the keypad. You
Simon, it's perfect. I know. That's what they all
touch
say.
Touch memory, is it?
And you? And you're going
to... Yeah. Well, people know who I am.
Go on, you just say your name.
Say my name again?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, okay. I'm Inel.
Good. Good, let's just get the formalities
out
of the way.
The one pleasure you get every week.
Just get the formalities out of the way.
It's fine. I've settled into the role now. Got comfortable. It's quite spacious down here.
Oh, it's good to be back.
It is.
So, Inel, obviously, some lunatics are not familiar with the show. So let's update them of what's coming up on the show.
Let's tell them what's guanin. So first up, we're going to be talking about what's trending, what's been happening in the news and the media and entertainment today.
Absolutely, trending in social media, those stories, and give you our views on it. Following that up, I know, with our infamous Lend an Ear section.
Oh, and we've got some big problems.
Yeah, some big problems.
And if you guys have got some problems that you want to send in to us for like a special A&E clinic, then you can send them to johnnyandinell@fubarradio.com. Email, innit?
Yeah, or you could even tweet us at @JohnnyandInell. But then again, some of these problems, you're probably not going to want to tweet out, you know.
Yeah, you probably need a bit more than 140 characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you'd want some anonymity. So, that's fine.
Oops, did we accidentally retweet?
Yeah, exactly. But email it into johnnyandinell@fubarradio, definitely. And then after that, we also have the blast from the past.
Blast from the past.
Now, that is the section where we take a buzzword and then we think about the stories that buzzword makes us think about, and then the songs that relate to those stories as well.
Ooh. What's the buzzword today?
The buzzword today, I know, is fashion.
Fashion. Ooh. Yeah. So what does that say to you, me, and the listeners at home?
Well, yeah, I mean, to be fair, people know us quite a lot for our fashion, don't they? Yeah.
Do they?
No one knows it's for our lack of fashion, but we'll get into that in a minute anyway.
Yeah, let us know your fashion nightmares as well, because I'm pretty certain a few people have had a few disasters out there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We also have a wonderful special guest, Arnell.
Yeah, we do.
We have an absolutely amazing special guest. Friend of the show and absolute improvisational beast.
I can't wait till he gets on the mic.
Yeah, we have the absolutely sensational Paul Foxcroft coming in for us.
Yes, he will be. Whoop, whoop.
This guy is hilarious. He's brilliant. And then we also have our spoilers on screen section, Arnell, where we'll be talking about the things that we've been watching on TV. And, yeah.
Guess what I've been watching?
Please.
Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, dear. I've been watching it as well.
First two episodes.
Absolutely.
It's going to be discussing that.
Yeah, Fear of the Walking Dead. It started with a bang, hasn't it, really? I'm quite into it. You into it already?
I am. I got a few bugbears, okay. But we shall save it.
We'll save it for later. It. Well, that's it then, I know. We haven't got really room for anything.
Hold up. No room for no more. Yes, we do, mate. We're going to have to just cram in an extra thing.
What else have we got room for?
Awesome wicked tunes that we like to play, bruv.
The absolute biggest bangers on the block. That's
yes.
What is coming up.
biggest bangers on the block. Hold on, I gotta write that down.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
bit of alliteration to get our listeners
biggest
absolutely titillated. So yeah, no, we have got absolute thumpers coming up.
For the BBB.
We have. yeah, no, because that's what our listeners come to expect these days.
Well, Johnny, don't tease them, man. Give them a little sound, innit?
You know what? I'm going to start off with a little song just to get everyone a little bit excited.
Yes.
And I do want to give a shout out, by the way, to Carly, who has given a couple of suggestions for songs this week. They're not going to get played, but she has got a great music
taste.
Thank you
for suggesting, yeah. But we're not going to listen.
Thanks for trying, Carly. but apart from that, I reckon she's going to love these songs, and I reckon everyone else will. So this one's coming up first. This is Good Lovin' by BJ the Chicago Kid. And it's coming up in 2 seconds. It's coming up in 2 seconds. Right, do you know what?
I'll tell you what, first aid back nightmares.
You come in, you were just expecting it to just cruise on by.
I'll
right,
tell you
and
what,
then.
Mate, it's not us two. It's not us two.
Oh, no, we've been bulletproof since we've been back in
I'll
the building.
Tell you what, mate.
But I think the song's queued up now. This is BJ. I hope this works now, right?
Yeah.
This is BJ the Chicago Kid and Good Loving. Yes, it works!
Just a phase, make you want to have a taste. Or just a smile that drives you crazy for a while. Then I told you there nothing wrong with me, yeah, loving you, baby, no, 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 and giving yourself to me, it never be wrong, if the love is true, oh, baby, oh, so let's do it in the morning, sweet breeze in the summertime, feeling your sweet face, all laid up next to time, we loving in the midnight, good sleep come morning light, ain't worried about nothing, yeah. Just getting good, just getting good, just getting good loving, yeah, 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 just getting good loving, yeah, just getting good loving, yeah, yeah, just getting good loving, yeah. Of course, our waistline reminds me of this baseline. And if you went back in time, she'd still be fine. Even if this was 1989. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me and loving you. To me, can never be wrong. If the love is true, oh baby, oh. So let's do it in the morning, sweet breeze in the summertime, feeling your sweet face, all laid up next to mine. We're loving in the midnight, good sleep come morning light. Ain't worried about nothing. Just getting good, just getting good, just getting good loving. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just getting good loving. Yeah, just getting good loving. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just getting good loving. Yeah.
Absolute bumper.
That's a BBB right there. Banger!
Banger on the block. Big time. I know a couple of people have been contacting us.
Oh, have we got that little...
Oh, he's finding his brain.
There we go!
Well, that's really for the emails. The tweets...
Oh, it's a tweet?
Yeah, Queen Bee has said, we've missed you guys too.
Ah, so, we missed you as well, Queen
Thank
Bee.
You. Thank you.
Very much.
It's always welcome. Compliments. Keep them coming.
What's that feeling I'm feeling right now?
I don't know, actually, mate, to be honest. You look like you're coming down with something. Definitely. we're pleased to be back. But we've also had a email.
Ooh, here we go.
Hi, Johnny and Arnell. Welcome back. Have missed you the last few weeks. Keep me laughing. Tom.
That's what I'm talking about, Tom.
Absolutely. It's
took the time to, you know, send an email out.
It's partly nice, isn't it? It's part an order, isn't it? Welcome back. I miss you guys. Keep me laughing.
Oh,
do
God.
It.
Oh,
so,
right. Didn't even have a please in
there. No, there was no please.
A
little bit of manners, Tom, goes a long way. That's
Tom,
all.
Man, what's going on?
If you had said, please keep me laughing, we would have absolutely obliged. Now we're going to just talk.
I'm belittling him every chance we get.
Any chance we get to have a go at Tom, it's coming up. Right. I know, we are quickly moving into our
What's trending
section. What's trending? So this is obviously where we start talking about what's been going on in the news and stuff like that.
Mm.
So the first thing that really kind of spiked to my attention this week was that we may well have a new president in 2020. Some people might have heard him already. the infamous Kanye West has suggested that he's going to...
It's the logical next step.
Yeah, it is. In many bit, it's a demotion, because in his own mind, he thinks he's God. So he's taking a step down to become president.
Becoming
really.
Humble, that is.
Absolutely, he's humbling himself. But yeah, he said he's going to run for president, which is just absolute carnage.
Do you know what the maddest thing is? The people have already started making merchandise for it.
Yeah,
it's like Kanye West like t-shirts. And
oh, the Yes We Kanye and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yes We Kanye.
Putting the Kanye in Americanye and stuff like that. Yeah, I've seen a couple of memes and that. But I mean, could you actually imagine this? It's ludicrous, but could you imagine he actually does it? To be fair, Reagan was like a film star or whatever. Could happen. So, but could you imagine, like, he is actually the president of the United States? There's, like, he's attending, you know, UN summits and, like, they're handing out Nobel Peace Prizes, and then all of a sudden Kanye jumps on and goes, I think Beyonce should have got it. Take it down. It shouldn't be you. It shouldn't be you. Beyonce needs it.
I love the fact that he might be going on like big peace talks and stuff to other countries and all of a sudden just bust out a little rap.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus walks on this. In Muslim countries.
It was Muhammad.
Yeah, exactly. You've destabilised the area again, Mr. West.
That was quick.
But no, the other obvious thing is, if Kanye West was president, then obviously Kim Kardashian would be first lady. now she would be the first lady that would have an active sex tape out available on the internet. I mean, this would make Monica Lewinsky's semen-stained dress look like a fumble behind a bike shed.
Monica's like, oh, that could have been me.
I mean, genuinely, what are you talking about? Kim Kardashian being a first lady, you could not have it.
To be fair, though, if she did become first lady, I would watch those episodes of the Kardashians. What's going down in the White House?
The Kardashian meets the West Wing.
Wanders into secret meetings because he's looking for a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. Caitlyn Jenner on the Senate somewhere. Walking in.
Just, oh, how's it going, Caitlyn?
That would be one of the funniest little sounds. I mean, America is crazy enough to actually do it.
It would go down, and then people would just see it as being normal. That's the craziest thing.
Oh, I reckon so. Mm. The other thing is, as well, before he even announced this, because this was at the VMAs, he actually admitted that he just smoked a joint before he went
on.
He
did.
He's like, I'm a little high.
Okay. I had a little sign that can't take the edge off.
Take the edge off. And then he's come out and basically said, oh, yeah, I had something to take the edge off. And I'm going to run for president. It's like, yeah, all right, mate. And then I'm going to go to the moon.
That's what I'm saying. What was he thinking before he had that?
He's starting some pretty out there stuff, to be fair.
I want to have whatever he's had because he's put him on the moon, that did.
Yeah, he's just out there. I mean, that's one way to start your presidential campaign. I smoked a little something to take the edge off, and I'm going to be your next president. Yeah, vote for Kanye.
It's going to be one of his policies. Legalize it everywhere.
Well, yeah, it's getting that way anyway, to be fair. Ooh. But if you're fed up with the likes of, you know, the politicians they have at the moment, you could actually think, well, let's just shake it up a little bit and let this nutter run wild.
Well, that's going to be the thing, isn't it? It's going to really, do you either vote for this person you hate or this person you hate?
Well, if the Terminator can be governor of California, then why can't Kanye West be, you know, I mean, the guy's an absolute loose cannon, but for the entertainment alone, we should do it. We should definitely do it.
How long do you reckon the world would last and until it all just kind of destabilizes and just collapses into a whole big mess?
It would be within the year, but it would have a great soundtrack.
Armageddon soundtrack.
Yeah.
Kanye's still in the studio while he's trying to run the country.
Well, he'd have to have a studio in the White House, wouldn't he, to be fair?
That's the first thing. Take out that boardroom. That's going to be a new soundtrack.
Absolutely. Just people going, look, Kanye, we've got an emergency. North Korea are going nuts. Kim Jong-un's got his finger on the button. I'm just finishing this track, goddammit. Goddammit.
You tell Kim Jong-un to wait.
Yeah, exactly.
I got Buster in the studio.
I don't even know what that means.
Nobody does.
So Kanye West, new president.
That's I can't wait for that. Just the election campaign is going to be quite fun to watch, I reckon. It's for the entertainment value alone.
Oh, absolutely. Woody and Jay-Z is his running mate as well.
Oh, gosh. Well, he clearly doesn't have enough money like the rest of the other candidates. The amount of money that you need to kind of run a proper campaign. But just the lead up to it would be fantastic to watch.
Yeah, yeah, it would, but he's not going to do it anyway. It's pie in the sky stuff. I think even Kanye woke up after his weed hangover and went, oh, that's not going to work out, is it?
Hey, Kim, what did I say yesterday?
Yeah. You're talking some crazy stuff,
you
man.
You said some crazy.
You know that crazy stuff you talk about, that big president? You said it on camera.
Oh, yeah. That stuff I said at the dinner table last night?
Yeah,
you said it for a couple million.
So I've got another thing that's trending right now.
What's been going on, Johnny?
The Premier League, you know, the Premier League, that has gone to its transfer window. It's just closed this week, where basically all of the clubs have a final mad dash to get themselves new
players
in
that they want.
Yeah.
Spend that dollar.
Once again, Arsenal have done a short, so, you know, couldn't even...
There was never any surprise to that, though.
No, but, I mean, I'd rather see Arsene Wenger over the Hackney Marshes just signing, you know, Billy the Plumber. Just he'll give you 110 on a Saturday. Pathetic. But I was thinking this, right, the way, like, clubs rush to get players in last minute. They don't sign anyone in the last week. They'll just be like, right, sign anyone or whatever, and there's a big mad scramble. Like, I am of the opinion that it's good. In terms of seasons, right, it's good to be single as a person in summer. You're living it up. You can dress nice. Everyone's out having a good time. You get a little nice glow to your skin, all of that. But what we do know, just like Game of Thrones, winter is coming. Now,
and you've got to be ready.
Exactly. Now, that's all of a sudden where, you know, when you're in summer, you don't even need to panic about, you know, other partners and stuff like that, because there's plenty of opportunities coming.
Indeed. You're going out every weekend.
You've got energy. Matter. You're loving it.
Where are we going now?
What's next? Oh, right, bin that guy off. There's another one here. Bin that girl off. There's another one over here.
Just everyone's in the bin.
Bin it. Bin it. Get in the bin.
What about recycling, John?
No. Bin them. Scrap heap. So basically, I'm thinking though that when winter comes around, you know, people don't even want to go down to the pub. It's raining, it's cold.
They don't. They just
all
wanna...
you want to be indoors with someone watching Netflix. Okay.
Yeah.
So with this being the last week of summer, because it is, isn't it? Like rain started coming and stuff. Are we in that last week mad scramble where people start having to make deals? They start.
Come on.
They start.
I'll do everything you want me to do.
They start getting on Tinder, swiping right a few more times, don't they? You'll do. Hey, yes, I'm willing to work with you. If you're willing to work with
me. Yes, I have flaws, but I am willing to adapt.
I'll try. That's the minimum.
We'll try.
Absolutely. Girls at the start of something, you're like, nah, not for me. By the end, oh, yeah. Decent.
Yeah, that's a 10.
That's someone who's going to warm my bed up when it's cold. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm thinking, that should there be a full-on transfer window?
Just a transfer window.
Absolutely. And it just closes. Like, it just closes one, like, a set date, and you have to have your business sorted out by that time.
That would be pretty good, because people kind of do that with friends anyway. I mean, when you get, like, new friends come on, all of a sudden you just bin your old ones, and you start hanging around with a new one. All of a sudden it's like, yeah, ban that one. I've got this new one now. It's the same with, like, when people get, like, new partners and stuff. Like, sometimes they just lock off their mates. That's it. It's like, I've got my new girl or my new boy now. That's it. We're done. And the rest of them just vanish into the ether.
I think
technically people do that already.
Yeah, but, I mean, having it as a set national thing, almost as run, like, you have
National
to,
day. Nobody would go to work.
No, exactly. You've got to register new relationships by, like, you know, August the 31st.
Bars open early.
Got Jim White on Sky Sports News going, oh, we've got a lot of business in here.
Everyone's in the gym in the morning just trying to, come on, get those biceps up.
Exactly. Mad scramble for profile pics. And then in the end, you're just some people in the bargain basement going, I'm literally going to take anyone, right? anyone who's interested.
You? What about you?
Yeah, I'm really not fussy now.
You're homeless. It doesn't matter. I've got home.
Exactly. Between us, will we live happily ever after? Just what I was thinking about, though. Yeah, so do end transfer windows?
I reckon it could work. I reckon it would be a mad kind of scramble, especially in a city like London, though.
Oh,
it would get nuts. It would get to like 11 o'clock, 11 p.m. when the window's about to shut and everybody's just on it.
Do you know? It reminds me of. Do you know what traffic light parties are?
Oh, was that the red when you're in a relationship?
Yeah, yellow if you're kind of little bit, and green if you're up for it.
What do you mean? Just a little bit yellow.
Well,
does that
like
mean you're
seeing
in a relationship,
someone?
But you're not.
You're seeing
that
someone.
Day.
Well, the thing is, what happens every time is you got a bunch of people wearing red, and then you got a load of girls wearing yellow because they don't want to be swarmed. Some girls are get a little bit, you know, naive, walk in with green, and then there's just a bunch of green guys going, hello, hello, hello. Well, you can't say no now. I know you're single.
I see you wearing green now, but it's not going to be green for much longer.
Exactly. And then by the end of the night, you just got like five green guys crowding around. Some girl's got a green t-shirt on, and a bunch of red girls at the bar going, I'm all right. I knew this was coming.
It sounds like they need weaponry for that sort of party, man. That's dangerous.
Yeah, bring in mace, girls. Bring in mace.
Don't forget it.
Did you know another what's trending subject?
Oh, what's been going on also, Johnny?
Do you remember? This is the thing, right? I saw earlier this week. You know EastEnders?
Yeah.
There's a character called Tracy, right?
The one that works behind the bar.
Yeah, she works behind the bar. She used to work on the market stall. Never, barely ever said a line. She's been an extra for 30 years, right?
Whoosh.
Absolute longest runner. And
I mean, being an extra is tough. Like, that's 30 years of it. How'd you survive on that?
I don't
know. Is she signing on at the same time?
Who knows, to be fair. She probably gets a little bit, doesn't she? But she barely gets a line, and she's been given a storyline all of a sudden. 30 years. That is the longest probation period ever for an actress, isn't it?
She's been in there since 1985.
That's mental.
What the hell?
Exactly. She probably went in just trying to get an actual role, and they were like, just do a little stint on the stall. Do a little stint behind the bar, and then we'll see what happens.
She's been behind the bar like for so long, she could actually run her own place.
Yeah.
she should take the experience from being an extra.
Yeah.
Use that and start up her own pub.
But she's the longest running character on EastEnders. She is, and Winston's the other one. Do you remember Winston as well?
Didn't they kill him off?
Oh, I hope not. I haven't watched it for a while, but Winston was big. Yeah, oh, that's disappointing.
Don't somber. Come here, Nat. Let the listeners tell us. Is Winston alive or dead? Yeah, tweet him.
Well, if he is alive, I'll tell you he's going to be kicking off, isn't he? He's going to be going, well, I've been an extra as well. I want my own storyline. He'll be coming in with a script he's wrote for himself. I'm going to kill Phil Mitchell. I'm going to get with all the girls. Winston.
I was looking at like a few fun facts about Tracy that people. There was one where there was a whole big thing about who killed Archie Mitchell, and she was named as one of the suspects. It was like, so was the silent ones.
Yeah.
You gotta watch out for them.
Do you know, I saw one as well, which was when young Dirty Den's kid was around. Apparently he'd slept with her, which was a storyline. He slept with Tracy. Didn't even get invested, like, shown on camera. He just walked in and handed Tracy her knickers back over the bar. She must be thinking, this is getting a joke. I don't even get to say any lines. I'm just being treated like an absolute get-about in the town.
This is bit of meat. Yeah. People just see that as a bit of... Oh, Tracy, yeah, she's been around the block. That's why she can't talk.
She doesn't say much, but she gets about. She speaks with her body, she does. Oh, yeah.
Speaks with her body.
Oh, absolutely. There's Tracy. Oh, it's all going off. We love Tracy.
Here's your knickers back.
It's been verified that Winston is alive, by the way. So,
I was alive? Yeah. Oh, that was quick. You guys are fast.
So he's going to be going nuts. That was just a little story because it made me think about it. Because I remember Tracy. I remember Winston. Power to the people and all that. You know what I mean? Give the extras more respect, people.
Yeah, it is a tough job being an extra, man. Yeah. I did watch that series of extras, by the way, because you recommended it to me. I watched it. Really good.
It is funny, isn't it?
Very good, very good.
I see the geezer in Edinburgh, actually, the one who, you know, who's the actor that keeps winding Ricky Gervais
up. Winding him up?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is he up there?
Yeah, I see him a couple of times, yeah.
Is he as successful as he claims to be?
I don't think so. He's got one of those faces, though, where he looks a little bit like smarmy all the time. No offence if you're listening. He's not listening. now the next thing that is trending. Now, this one may take a little bit more time because basically it's a story a lot of people would have heard this week. The UK's National Sperm Bank has come out and said that for the whole of the UK, it has 9 registered sperm donors.
And I bet they're lame as well. Lame ass sperm.
Yeah. Just 9 blokes.
Just 9.
9 blokes walking in, going, yeah, I'm one of the 9. I'm one of the dream team.
Do they still pay people for it?
Oh, absolutely, mate.
So what's
£35 cut off.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do you reckon it's just a marketing thing?
No, well, basically...
Then it's not promoting it properly. Need to get a couple of ads out.
So they do.
On the tube.
Yeah. The geezer's going, oh, he's going to start... Like, in Denmark, they were advertising, like, if you want to be a Superman, you know, give your sperm or whatever. Not sure how that works, but there you go. But, in general, he's like, we could have put the money up that you get, but if we made it 100 quid, then people, he goes, it might, you know, make it a little bit, like, cynical. People might start going, well, I mean, I can make 300 quid by just having three knockouts. So,
boom, there's another one. Boom, there's
another
one.
Exactly. I mean, I've done
here's my advice.
I've done a week's work in 2 hours. I mean, I've done 2/3 of it after 20 minutes, but that third one takes a little longer.
And technically, you can still sign none. You're not doing a lot of hours.
Exactly. I'll do my two, then I go for a run round the block, recharge. 35 quid a go.
Run round the block.
Get my testosterone back, don't I?
Let me just walk it off a sec.
Let him fill up again. So, 9 registered donors. I mean...
You know what? Do you know what? I'd be scared, though. I'd be scared because I'd always envisage little eye nails running around.
Yeah, that's enough to scare anyone, to be honest.
it's definitely scary.
But we basically, the demand for sperm has actually gone up. There's a 20% increase, I think. A lot of same-sex couples elderly people were wanting sperm donations. Mm. And there's only 9 people, and they're saying it's a massive shortage. But you can imagine, like, literally, there's 9 people. So if a lot of people are using the same 9 people's sperm, like, there's going to be a lot of kids knocking about, you know, looking pretty much the same, you know. And the thing is since 2005, like, the kids have now had this law passed where they can go and find their biological dad. They don't owe them any money or anything, but they can go and find them.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's going to scare the hell out of
them. Yeah.
Oh, they did it twice. How do you mean I got 5 kids?
Yeah, I know. But you can imagine that all these 18-year-olds are turning up to these guys' houses, like, in about 20 years' time, you know, and just literally sitting around with 10 18-year-olds in your house going, you're having a laugh, mate. I only got 350 quid for this. It's an absolute disgrace. They've all got my nose. Get out of here.
Can you just imagine it knocking on your door? What did you do with the 35 quid?
Yeah, exactly. I'll come off it. I've got a Swiss Family Robinson in my front room, and I can't even get enough for a PlayStation 4 out of it. Get out of it.
And enough for a takeaway, that's about it.
Exactly. Literally, I'm looking at you, mate. Yeah, you might be my biological son. All I got for you was an oyster top-up, mate. Okay? It was my travel for the week. Absolutely disgraceful.
My head.
Yeah, 9 registered donors, basically.
Wow, that's amazing, man. I can't believe that.
Yeah. Would you ever donate sperm?
No, man. It scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the whole fact of little white nails running around.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Agreed. I'll donate sperm.
Would you?
Yeah. You have to come and see me. The ladies have to come and see me first, though. Did you see what... It's a bit of a joke.
I know.
That's why I saw your face. Johnny, willing to donate sperm. So, there you go. That was the start of it.
For 35 quid.
bring the money with you, ladies.
I do accept debit and PayPal.
Yeah, I have a card machine. and a tip jar.
Imagine a little portable little thing. Put your card in there. Give it a couple of seconds.
Oh, it's been declined. I'll take that back. Where do you think you're going? Oh, dearie me. We've got to crack on. We've got one more What's Trending, and then we've had so many emails just come through. Right, last one is Jimmy Kimmel, the American talk show host, offends the gaming community and gets crazy death threats from angry gamers.
That was nuts, because he did it on his daily show, like, the other night, and it had crazy backlash, because... He usually puts every segment that he does on YouTube, and then all of a sudden it's had like record amounts of dislikes on it. Just barely anyone's liked it. And he's basically what he had to go at people was he hates the culture of gamer
people watching people play games on YouTube and Twitch and all those other sites.
So it's the people watching people playing games. Yeah.
And so it's had a crazy backlash. This is one of the worst kind of culture communities to kind of attack, really, on, especially online, because they kind of own the online space.
Yeah. I saw some of the reactions and that he was getting, like, you messed with the wrong community, Jimmy. And what was the one again? Well, basically just people going, die, and stuff like that. I mean, it's crazy, really.
There was an evil one. Because he did it. The next day, he responded to the reaction, and he, like, started reading out some of the tweets and stuff. Mm. It was one of them. It was like, oh, be careful when you start your car tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh!
Genuine
tweet is out. This is who sent it. Me.
Yeah.
You can see my name.
And a mate have put a car bomb under your car. Unreal. But yeah, we're pretty big gamers, so
we are. So it was a crazy mistake. That was, I
there you reckon. Go.
Crazy mistake.
Now I know we have several emails. So
here we go.
Right, here we go. Let's start banging through some of these. Like this one. Quite massive question.
Ooh.
Hello. I need to know the answer to this ASAP stat.
Mm.
Would you kiss a fox from Petal in Hounslow?
I don't know. Petal.
Would you kiss a fox?
I think she's been on that stuff that Kanye's had.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Name though, Petal, isn't it? Oh, I probably wouldn't kiss a fox. Although there were, when we worked on that vet program, the little fox pups were well cute.
Fox pups are super cute. The ones in London.
No, absolutely not. Absolute disease.
Scrawny buggers. I've never seen animals that skinny before.
Although, if I get to the end of the dating transfer window, I've got nothing else. Who knows? I wouldn't rule a fox out.
Swipe right.
Yeah.
But, come here.
I'll definitely take a fox. So that's it.
Get closer.
I think that's a maybe there, Petal.
So,
question. Sup? Do you like to be called dude, mate, or guys? I like to be called Sheriff or the Sultan from Des in Kent.
Oh, nice, Des. The Sultan.
And yes. The Sultan.
The Sultan. Yes.
He's giving
you're
yourself
consciously saying that every single time. What's happening, Sultan?
I actually like to be called Emperor, Des. Yeah, just, I mean, that's, no, I go with dude, to be fair. Dude's pretty cool.
I always say player.
Player, dude, and player. Yeah, I do play as well. But I hope that answered your old answer. I hope that answered your question, Sultan Des.
Sultan Des. I do like that's a good one.
Or the sheriff, I like that. Or boss as well. I do boss sometimes. All right.
Big boss.
Shoe. Oh dear, this is a good one for me. Espadrilles, yay or nay? Rock in the cafe, not a chain one though.
I don't know what it means. Espadrilles only in the summer. Only in the summer.
It's a massive yes from me.
Yeah, I know. You're a super fan of espadrilles.
I've worn so many espadrilles in my time. Or drillies, as I call them. What the drilly with that, though? It ain't banging. So, yeah, I'm renowned for wearing espadrilles, but a couple of times it's got me into a lot of trouble, because I remember I went to Wireless Festival.
Yeah.
Thought I was hard, so I went into the mosh pit when the streets created it. I wouldn't mind. It's not like I got slapped in the face or anything. Someone stood on the edge of my espadrille. I went to move forward, and it just ripped my espadrille.
Oh, yeah, mate. It's wearing them is like walking barefoot.
Well, you might
as well be.
There's no imagining walking barefoot, because once the espadrille ripped, I had to walk barefoot all the way home. So, I'm all broken bottles around. Disgraceful.
Oh, don't worry about my foot, mate. Don't bother picking that up.
Right, I'd rather have got smashed
smash
in the face.
Smash it right there. No, go on.
Having tetanus jabs after that. traffic lights. Hi, I hate the colours red, green and amber. They offend and anger me to the core. what should the alternative colours be? I need this sorted, please. Can you use your influence to get on it? I know you know the man. Trixie and Leatherhead.
Definitely a purple to stop, Trixie. All the way.
Purple.
I always listen to tunes when I'm in the car. So if it's like a stop and it's purple, that's like, yeah. That reminds me of like the club lights and stuff like that. It's like, yeah.
Mm.
Bounce along to my music.
Maybe put a silver in there. Silver as go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like the spotlight. So it's like, boom, you're ready to go.
Yeah, and then and then blue to as a kind of get ready as an amber substitute. Silver, blue, purple. Got a ring to it, innit?
Yeah, there we go. Done it.
Done it. We'll have a word with the man. No guarantees that's going to be his better place. From now on, keep using the red, yellow and greens if you want.
Until we get it sorted, we'll let you know, Tricky.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Please do not mention our names if you do not stop at a red light.
Can you imagine if Tricky gets pulled over?
Starts playing this show. As a girl, I think you'll find it's been sorted.
Listen to what Johnny and I now say.
We'll be getting called as character witnesses. We're not backing you up, Trixie. EastEnders, hello.
Hi.
Wasn't Winston the dog?
No, that was Wellard.
It was Wellard. That was from Kelly. Kelly, Winston was not the dog, it was Wellard.
See, that reminds me of what Dave was saying last week in terms of people thought he was gone. It was like, nobody knows who Winston is.
No. Jenna.
He's been working here for a long time. He's like, who's Winston? Do you know what I mean? He's been here for 25 years.
No. Some of my best work, and they don't even know me.
They don't even know my name.
Last one.
Here we go.
A transfer. Hi, guys. Loving the show. Thank you. With a transfer window for girlfriends, I think it would be perfect opportunity to use the loan system. Yes, mate. Get a missus on short term, 6 month deal. At the end of that, send her back to her parent club just in time for the summer again. And if she's a keeper, negotiate a permanent deal with her and her parents. Glad to have you back, Simon in Essex.
Well done.
Very nice.
Amen of the day now.
Very nice. There we go.
If not slightly sexist.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take it. Oh, you're terrible, Simon, but we're laughing a lot. Well, it's time. We've got to bang another song on because it's been too long playing without music. I know this next one is actually the internet, and it's called, it's by the internet of the group.
Oh, yes.
And it's called Under Control. You like this one, didn't you?
I do.
Any words on it?
Well, no, this is one that I played to you one time, and I thought you said you really liked it, so I thought, yeah, let me bring it on.
Here it comes then. The internet, Under Control. Absolutely thumping.
That was it. That was the internet under control.
Under control. Yeah, nice. Big fan of that. Ooh. So, yeah, good stuff. Good recommend.
There we go. See, we're just giving them too much, Johnny.
Yeah, no, we started in good shape. By the way, in case anyone's listening out there and just, you know, thinking, the music kind of, like, the same kind of music, but the music kind of tone has changed slightly. It has, because the other days we've done this up to now, it's been sunny, so we've had sunny, uplifting beats. But now, you'll find, as we go forward over the next couple of months, it's more of a, maybe more of a chilled thing, because it's, you know, maybe dark outside, you want to chill. You know what I mean? That's how I'm rolling, isn't it?
I like that. Oh, yeah. we got a couple of tweets.
Oh, please. Please tell me.
We've got one from, here we go. Oh, Paul Clark, he says, "Hi, boys, welcome back. Loving the show and having a wank." Hey, I know, he put that in public as well.
Yeah?
Yes. No, why would I make that up? I'm going to retweet it.
I did not think people did that listening to this show. Hey, but yeah, you get all
put his full name out there as well, Paul Clark.
I'm laughing. Wow. I didn't know that my voice did that to people. Johnny, in fact, I did. So, I didn't know.
Oh, right. You knew.
I know.
You need to rein it in then, Johnny.
Any other tweets?
We do. We got one from Queen Bee. She says, "Can we leave reviews on TripAdvisor?"
For what?
One of the nine. Hashtag one of the nine.
For the sperm donors.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, depends what the review is, you know. Don't be leaving things like a bit salty.
You have to wait like 9 months before you can actually give this decent review.
I read a thing as well, and they were like, even though there's only nine sperm donors, there's people who are going in are still really picky. They're like, can we have someone who's over 6 foot, please? A doctor or a barrister? It's like, there's nine people. You'll get what you're given.
You can even have that one, that one, that one, that one.
Exactly.
We currently don't have that one in stock.
There is an alternative way of sourcing sperm. It's called Tinder. and you get into the end of summer, so start climbing right.
That's a weird thing, though, because I guess people go in as couples and stuff like that to kind of source the best sperm for them. It's literally, how disappointed are they when they drive all the way to Birmingham to get there? And we ain't got much for you, guys. Well, you could have emailed and said, save a trip. Come all this way, give him the sperm.
We had an email, I know.
Oh. Here we go.
Right, so it is actually still in the sperm banks subject.
Everyone's talking about it.
Hello. I'd go to a sperm bank if they gave me a smoking jacket and poured me a nice pina colada. Alan in Twickers. Good stuff.
Nice to know he's doing
much.
It for the cause.
Yeah. Just wants to feel good while he does it.
That's all. All he asks is for a coat and a drink.
I would like to be in the sperm bank on that day watching Alan walk around his smoking jacket. I often come and walk in the aisles when I want to relax in between sessions. Oh, dear.
I'm here every Tuesday.
And
there we go.
Still on that sperm stuff. So, sperm stuff, hello. Sperm would be nicer if it smelt and looked like Kiara. Leslie in Surbiton.
Was it tastes like a box drink?
Yeah. although there would have to be alternative brands like Mbongo flavoured sperm as well, just to make sure that there's some competition.
Dilute to taste.
I don't doubt that you're right, though, Leslie. I do not doubt that you're right.
Here we go.
Sperm stuff again. all them used Kleenexes I have thrown away. I have literally thrown away money from Paul. You're chucking 35s in the bin, Paul. Oh, dear.
You'd be a rich man, Paul. You'd be a rich man.
Oh, I know. Oh, dear.
It's true, though, when you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Start thinking about all those times.
I know. Tell you what, when I was a teenager, honestly, burning money. Absolutely burning
it. Would have killed for an extra 35 quid.
Exactly. When I found topless darts on Channel 5 Live,
oh,
I tell
you. Remember that?
I remember it. I remember it. Exactly.
That was when it was like, uh-oh, put the TV on mute.
Yeah, absolutely mute. Someone's coming. Oh. Turn it over. Good. The batteries ain't working. No.
Then they used to do, like, the topless weather as well.
I'd grown out of it by that point, mate. Bless you. You still watching it last year, weren't you?
Last week,
still after his 35 quid.
They just need me to do it on the premises. I can't do it on the premises.
Do you know what? That was actually quite funny, right? Cause do you remember the days when you had to, like, we had VHSs?
Mm.
I remember we got the boxing out, Mike Tyson fight, and my cousin wanted to watch the fight, but he couldn't, so we recorded it VHS style, and then gave it over to him, and then after he'd watched it, he went, oh, well, well, well. He went, I was watching that fight, but halfway over, turned on to a bit of topless dancing, you know.
Triple 20.
Absolutely. Absolutely busted.
Nobody cares about the scores in topless.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Nothing for two in a bed. We are now infamous Lend an Ear section.
Lend an Ear. For those that don't know, this is a section, the part of the show where people send in their problems. Real people with real problems. And me and Johnny attempt to give the best advice we can.
Absolutely.
At home.
Absolutely. What's the first problem, Lionel?
First problem. Problem number one. I'm starting to think my sexual appetite is too much for my boyfriend. It's not like I'm into anything too kinky. I just enjoy having sex with him. He never seems to be in the mood, though. If it was up to him, we'd have sex once a week, if that. I don't want to force him, but his constant lack of enthusiasm is starting to make me think he doesn't find me attractive anymore. If I was Mila Kunis, he'd want to do it twice a day, at the very least, I'm sure. It's like he is the opposite to the male stereotype. I thought guys were supposed to think about sex every 5 seconds. Why is mine broken?
Broken. My man is broken.
I think he's broken. Where do I return him to?
It's not working properly.
I'm sorry, yeah. Have you still got the receipt?
I mean... The thing that gets me about this is this classic little fact that keeps getting brought up, right? That and it's turned into quite a rude show today. Isn't it?
I don't know what's happening.
It happens. It grows organically. The show, I mean. honestly, you can't write these puns, literally. This fact that gets brought up all the time, right? That blokes think about sex every 5 seconds. Mm. I mean, what are they talking about?
I think women believe it, like as a well-known thing.
Yeah,
it's
literally
like,
they think that we are literally like goldfish. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll just be doing something else, like getting up in the morning and going, do you know what? I'm going to actually write a novel. I think I'm going to base it around, oh, God, sex. Where's that topless? Oh, right. What was I thinking about again? Oh, yeah, I'm going to write a novel, actually. I'm going to have it based on sex. Because constantly crashing into these, like, sex tangents that
How do they think we operate? Like, how do they think we go about day to day, if that was the case?
Well, I don't actually know, to be fair. I think that's why women think that we're somewhat stupid a lot of the time. You know, it's not true. I think, let's face it, it's not every 5 seconds. I think that's kind of on average. Like, you might have an hour thinking about it.
Don't wake up in your head during the night.
Yeah, oh, God. Oh,
not again.
Oh, God. Start the washing machine.
There comes the insomnia.
Yeah. But, no.
Just can't get to sleep.
But, to be honest, in terms of this actual problem, you know, because he's not up for it. Have you ever thought that he might actually be one of the 9 registered sperm donors? he's only 35 and he's not up for
he's
anymore.
Tired.
He's bringing home the money. You lay off him. Once a week, you lay off him. Hey? You need to check. You need to check if his Oyster card's still topped up. If it is, he's been at the sperm bank again.
He's a working man. Working men need their rest.
He's done with you, okay? Why are you on his back all the time?
You know, you want all these freebies? Everybody else is paying big money.
Start getting your purse out. start letting me see some paper.
Oh dear, what's happened today?
Oh dear.
Here's your advice. Leave him alone.
Get off his case.
Oh gosh. So, my voice is hurting.
If we look for the more serious about it, sometimes it's like how long they've been together as well. Because to be honest, in relationships, things do start to die down after a while anyway, let's be honest.
Yeah. I don't take it. Don't take it as a thing that he doesn't like you anymore. I think women think straight away if he doesn't want to have sex, oh, maybe he doesn't find me attractive anymore. Blah blah blah. It's like no, that's not a thing. Otherwise, he wouldn't be still with you. Like guys stick. Like if a guy doesn't, when a guy finds you attractive, he always finds you attractive. Unless something drastic changes in your looks, then he pretty much likes you from the same day he kind of first met you. I think anyway. And I don't put on the pressure that you have to have constant sex, and obviously that's your appetite, and you kind of feel as if that's what you want. I guess you just have to sit down and talk to him about it properly. It's one of those things.
Yeah,
where you have to kind of let each other know, come to some compromises.
It does become a little, yeah, it becomes a little bit chore-like after a while as well, you know, and you have to try and, well, you know.
But do you know what it is? It's because some people, they like, once they get into a routine, they start to have sex at the same times of day or or in the same places, whatnot. Spice up a bit.
Yeah.
Have it in the kitchen or
as George Michael said, let's go outside.
I say spice up a bit. I think it could be a case where it's just regimented. It's like, oh, as soon as I brush my teeth and get ready for bed, put on my PJs, then we have sex just before we crash.
Absolutely.
And then first thing in the morning, just before he goes to work, and then blah, and then wait until the same thing next day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Just try and add something. But definitely, I think the ultimate thing, as we often say, communication is key. Make it known what's going on. Make it known what your requirements are. and apart from that, lay off him. Because he's at that bank.
Are you bringing back 35 quid a day?
Exactly. He's at that bank, okay? And there's a recession right now. There's a banking crisis in the sperm industry, okay?
It's a big crisis. It's a crash.
So I think that's borderline our advice, isn't it? I know.
I'm pretty certain people are kind of start barricading this. That's trying to get the 9.
Yeah.
Need it. I need it. Riots outside. Could you imagine?
We do have another problem here. I know. And if you've got a problem that you want, write in now, this second. And we can do it in our A&E section of London Air.
Oh, we got a tweet coming. Oh, it's Paul Clark again.
Oh, okay.
He says, the best way to spice up... The best way to spice up sex is having it in the library. Clearly that's where he does the most of his...
Yeah, exactly. So he can watch. Paul, we all know you're not reading that book. How do you know? Because he's upside down. Stop playing games. You're filthy.
Take that smoking jacket off.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, we have another problem here. I know.
What's the other problem, Jeff?
So, it is. Hello, Jay and I.
Hi.
I've got a big problem.
Uh-oh.
I left my hair straighteners at my friend's house. I see him quite a lot and need to make sure my hair is on point at all times. Mm-hmm. I popped over to his house and wanted to zhush up my hair.
Zhush, yeah. Zhush up the hair.
Only to discover that my precious straighteners were broken.
Oh.
He denies all knowledge of how this has happened, but his hair has been looking suspiciously straight ever straight recently. It's the only straight thing about him. I've asked him to purchase me some new ones, but he's having none of it. As he said, it was at my own risk that I left them at his house. What do I do? I need this settled. Natalia in Islington.
Oh, Natalia.
It's a serious one, isn't it?
It
broken
is.
Broken property.
Don't be messing with people's straighteners. That's a... I didn't realise how expensive they were until, I think it was like 5 years ago, I bought like a pair of straighteners with Christmas present for like a girlfriend at the time. And wow.
Yeah.
Like 100 and something quid I'd paid her for a pair of straighteners. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, my sister got some GHDs at one point, and she was like, she wouldn't accept anything other than GHDs.
I know, I was like, you get like Xbox or something for the same price, as I was getting.
They're serious, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
so the best way to tell if you know if he's using it is use your smell. You can always smell a little burning of the plates. There we go. Listen.
I mean, the thing is, I think he's been using them and then broken them.
Oh, he's definitely used them and broken.
Well, yeah, I think that's what the issue. They're broken now, but he had been using them.
Oh, right.
One thing you could do.
His hair's too tough, isn't it?
Yeah, one thing you could do is just go around and just leave the hair straighteners on and walk out the house. Flat would probably burn down, and then you say, look, you broke them, your flat's gone now. I mean, it's a little bit over the top.
Going for a bit extreme at first, last minute result.
Absolutely, once again, do not quote my name when you're talking to police after these things. Not interested.
I'm telling you, listen to the recording.
I tend to agree, though. If you leave things around people's houses, it's at your own risk, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you can't expect people not to use them, especially if they're that expensive as well.
Mm.
And I guess he likes his hair being straight, even though he isn't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, he's giving it a go, straightening that hair up. But if they're broken, yeah, maybe his hair's made of a different material.
How do you even break them, though? Because apparently these things break down all the time. But I don't, was it just, they're just like irons. They're just like, just conk out and that's it.
I've never used, I have used, someone's straightened my hair before, but you I've were? Never done it myself.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I had to do it for the show. But no, when I was in Australia as well, all the girls, like, because I got long hair, they were just like, oh, yeah, please let me straighten your hair. And
then being the courteous gentleman that you are.
Well, yeah. Nah, to be honest, I just found it quite relaxing. But then I walked downstairs and was getting stared at like a freak show. Didn't look right, to be fair. It kind of looked a bit like Andre 3000 mixed with... who's that other? Basically, I had a beard as well. I looked really strange.
3000.
Yeah. I just look weird, though. I look bad.
Yeah, you know, I don't get how girls always carry them around because they're still quite big as well and quite dangerous. And they always bring them around in their bags and stuff. It's like, I mean, the fact that she's left it around his house, she's carrying it around with her. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, but no, I mean, that is like an essential part of a girl's, you know, survival kit, I think.
What, making sure your hair was straight?
Yeah. I reckon they'd probably prefer... A lot of girls would prefer to have hair straighteners than clean knickers, quite frankly. Yeah. Is that true? No? She's not listening? No, our producer's not listening. Or certainly not willing to comment. There you go.
The way you turned your head and had a little look. All right, she's not paying attention.
So, borderline, our advice is borderline. You could either turn the hair straighteners on around his house, burn his flat down and prove a point, or you just chalk this one up to being, you know what, you left them around his house, they've been broken by some suspicious circumstance, and to be fair,
these things break down all the time. Mm. You're going to have to replace it anyway, love. Get yourself a nice pair of GHDs again, zhuzh up your hair, go out in the town, transfer window.
Yeah, transfer winner. He's closing. You need it done soon. See if he'll bid for him as well. See if he'll get any. If he'll,
on
he'll,
eBay.
He'll get a little. Yeah, a little portion of it. You know, I mean, a percentage. Mm. but yeah, maybe he will. Oh, we've had a few emails here.
Oh, here we go.
Right, big question.
Uh oh.
White, brown, or wholemeal? Shag, marry, avoid. Pete from Clapham. White, brown, or wholemeal? I mean, you can't do shag, marry, avoid on bread, can you?
Depends who you are. I mean, if you're Paul Clark.
Yeah. Paul Clark will. He'll find a way. I like... White's the tastiest, actually, I think. But I like eating...
I like white before. If it's toasted.
Yeah.
Toasted nicely. Otherwise, I prefer brown if it's just a sandwich.
Yeah.
Wholemeal, don't really mind.
Yeah. I think brown's better for you as well, so...
It is, yeah.
Shag white, marry brown, avoid wholemeal.
If I'm having a nice club sandwich, white bread, boom.
Yeah.
Big club sandwich, nice. If I'm just having a normal sandwich or something like that, then boom. Brown, wholemeal, stick it in the toaster, it's fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll have all three, to be fair. I don't really avoid.
At once.
But, yeah. Yeah, I'm greedy like that.
It's got to happen. Another email. Tube. What is the best and worst tube station and line in London? I like Circles. Reg in Surrey.
The line. I don't really like Circle.
I don't like Circle.
It doesn't even go a full way round properly.
The best
depends on the time of the week, day of the week as well.
Well, the best actual line is the Overground that goes... down on the East London line because
the new one.
It's just much more airy. I don't mind the Jubilee.
Long trains.
Yeah, you get more
room. See the way to the end.
Exactly.
Oh, there's trouble to end, I'll say this way.
That's exactly it. I think we've agreed before that the best tube station is Cockfosters.
Yes, it was a question put to us before, wasn't it?
Strong name.
Cockfosters, you know what you're getting there.
Yeah. Spermy.
How do people get away with sending these? I better send them for the work emails as well.
I know. This is unsavoury. This is unsavoury, this one. My sperm looks like Pepsi sometimes. from Norm. Oh, dear. Looks like Pepsi. Pepsi Max.
Too much sugar in that, though.
Oh, dear. No, well, I'm simple as this. I know you haven't wrote in as a problem, Norm, but I'd strongly... My solution would be go and see the doctor. It's that simple.
Don't need to read the rest.
It's a medical issue. There's no question about it. Shouldn't look like that.
Yeah, now, mate.
Shouldn't look like that, mate.
Shouldn't.
Yeah. We're thinking about you, Norm. Come on.
I'll tell you what, his girlfriend's going to be in for a shot.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We'll come back to that one. Someone sent in a picture of what long-haired Johnny would look like. This is what you look like. And it looks like a big... Lion Man, that's Bet in Vauxhall, and she said it looks hot. I don't know why you are attracted to men.
Let me see this picture. Hold on.
Lion in lion form. That's not hot, is it, Arnell?
Nah.
Weird.
Nah.
Looks like someone out of Labyrinth or something like that.
He needs some hair straighteners.
Oh, Beauty and the Beast, is it? All right. I don't know. Get very
some
strange
things on that.
Yeah.
we've got with the. Who is it? Oh, it's Paul Clark again. Sent in a picture.
Paul Clark. He's interactive today. Eggs, would you fry or scotch an egg? Rex at home.
Fried.
Yeah, fried egg. All day long. Yeah. Favourite time. I know, we've got to bang some music on.
Let's bang some music on, we'll get right back to some more.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this song is a tune I'm really digging at the moment. It's by Versatile featuring Dion, and it's called Super.
Super. My life story's classified. certified nonfiction. It was a close call made from long distance. Yeah. It's been suggested I was predestined from the heavens to a head spin to make a song listen. From Kabu After Dark, Sugar Hill Spark, found my Neil side when I realized the art was a tic-tac-toe game. Got on my Cobain, I was raised a bullseye amongst long shots with no aim. Face me or face slow pain, but face it, you in the monsoon with a sifter, trying to hold rain. Have at it, catch your breath, asthmatic, it's the Wild West, and few have been ass savages. I Doc Holly in a Wyatt Earp Glenn. Smithsonian is trying to find my first pen. Stare at me long enough and you'll see why the earth spin. 35 mil depiction, one word description. Super.
I'm not the usual. Super, super. I'm not a hero, but a super, super.
Unless you're looking through my window from the outskirts. Here's some jewels and some bank teller rules. Don't cash checks without knowing the amount first. Look, pages past the cover of the book. Even the intro might have your info shook. To be clear, things ain't what they appear. The Messiah was on the cross between two crooks. My attributes radiate and bounce off the planets. A cloud surf toss words across Atlantic. My peers been called bleeding out the ears. I stay in my lane, I just know how to switch gears. A dying breed, no twin Siamese. The champ, the truth, the great one, I am he. You should be glad that you made it this far. You're trying to reach your potential, but I keep raising the bar, you know the drill, dude.
I'm not the usual, super, super. I'm not a hero, but I'm super, super. I'm not the usual, super, super. Watch me do my thing, super, super.
Pocket full of dreams, mouth full of miracles. This fraction, it's closed caption. Subtitles underline the action. I'm Sam Jackson meets Johann Sebastian. That statue pays residue. Could I be great though I make less revenue? I want the hood to acknowledge bums I abolish. The jewels I drop, not the guns that I polish. That code that the so-called hustlers keep ain't for me. I ain't the coon that be shuffling feet to get cash. Though I get paid for my craft, for me I'm leaving being a slave in the past. Champion sound, blue ribbons, boys selling birds turn into stool pigeons. Visit a few prisons and heard my connect say, baby, you won't need an x-ray to see my new vision. I'm super.
I'm not the usual, super, super. I'm not a hero, but I'm super, super. I'm not the usual, super, super. Watch me do my thing, super, super.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
What a tune. Be usual. Whoa.
That's nice. That's right. That's right. You're listening to Johnny and Inell live and loud on FUBAR Radio.
Johnny and Inell on FUBAR Radio.
I always have to undercut you with that, mate.
Yeah, I know you do, mate. once an hour minimum.
We did have a couple of problems to come in, but we could do them later with our wonderful special guest.
Yes, so thank you for sending those in. We'll get to those.
We'll get around to them. But we are moving into our blast from the past
blast
section.
Blast from the past.
That's a blast. It happened a little while back.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
So our buzzword, I know, was fashion.
Mm.
So obviously that is going to be what brings us to our, what we're going to talk about basically. now, I mean, the thing for me is, fashion, I'm not renowned as being the most fashionable person, which is scandalous, quite frankly. I've got a penchant for green hoodies that some people seem to have a problem with.
Espadrilles.
and that almost moves perfectly onto my worst faux pas of all time, which was I like wearing green things, but I once wore a full green outfit, which was a green T-shirt, green three-quarter lengths, and green espadrilles. And people were literally laughing at me. And they started calling it the frog outfit. And they literally, I was down the pub in this frog outfit, and they were just laughing their heads off. And It was actually the FA Cup final day as well. So I'm kind of renowned in circles in my friendship group for being the guy who just doesn't always get it right with clothes. I don't know. I see things differently to other people. I thought I looked good, but there you go. Green three-quarter lengths are back in, apparently. They were that day.
And that day only.
That day only. For one night only. But the other thing is people could slag off my fashion. They can slag it off all they want. Mm. But how many people have actually worked in the fashion industry before?
You worked in
the
fashion industry?
I certainly did work in the fashion industry. I know when I went to Australia, I ended up somehow. Like, so basically, you just have to do whatever jobs you can, you know. People working on farms, all sorts. I was doing a bit of labouring. That didn't work out for some other reasons that maybe we'll come up in another show. basically, I went to an agency to try and get a job, and they ended up sending me to this fashion company. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, yeah, you got the look, you know, that young funky vibe or whatever. And I was like, yeah, mate, wicked. You know, at this point, I was just going out on the razzle every night. Like, I was travelling, you know, backpacking, having a great time. So they sent me to this fashion company. And as I say, I mean, literally 3 nights out of the week, I was, you know, coming in really probably still drunk from the night before. And I thought I wouldn't last very long. But by the end, my role started developing in this fashion company, like, and I became an assistant buyer. I was an assistant buyer in this fashion company. Like, and so this fashion company was for, like, the Australian equivalent of, like, Dorothy Perkins. Mm. So my role kept on developing, right? And then by the end, I was, like, the visual merchandiser for this company, and I was sorting out, like basically, they'd give me the orders of clothes that were coming in, and then I would have to arrange, like, what goes with what. So I'd be like, that dress goes with them shoes.
All the mannequins and stuff that you see in the store and all this kind of main displays of what's in and what's trending, that was you.
Yeah, yeah. I sorted out what the mannequins were being made out like in the whole of the country. They had to listen to what I was coming in smashed.
Guys, sit down and listen to Johnny Cochrane. He knows what he's talking about.
They're basically the majority of...
He knows women.
The majority of 40 to 50-year-old Australian women were being dressed by me when I was hungover, quite frankly. They'd never had it so good. Green three-quarter lengths were all the rage back then. And green espadrilles, they were running well. So basically, yeah, I ended up working in the fashion company, and that's my claim to fame in fashion. Yeah, so there we go. And that just makes me think about... it's nothing to do with... The song's not to do with fashion, but it reminds me of that period of my life, because I was listening to it at this point. And it's actually a song called T-Pain, Bartender. I'm going to play that right now.
So I went to the club. Put on a fresh white suit and a mini coat sitting on dubs. I'm just looking for somebody to talk to and show me some love.
Show me some love.
If you know what I mean. Everybody jacking me as soon as I stepped in the spot.
I stepped in the spot.
200 bitches in the building, ain't none of them hot.
Ain't none of them hot.
Except for this pretty young thing that was working all the way at the top.
All the way at the top.
Shouted, what is her name? Ooh, she made us drinks to drink. We drunk and we got drunk. And then I think she thinks I'm cool. She gave me a wink, a wink back. And then I think that we hit it off something proud. I'm feeling all good inside.
All good inside.
Feel like I put some brand new 24s on a brand new ride.
On a brand new ride.
Triple side of Patron on the rocks with a little bit of lime.
With a little bit of lime.
I'm just keeping it real. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Baby,
baby still working at the club, so I'm getting in free.
So I'm getting in free.
Wednesday night, I'm on the list, T-Pain plus three.
T-Pain plus three.
Every time I hit the spot, baby girl taking care of me.
Taking care of me.
How do you think I feel?
Who's he made us drinks to drink?
We drunk and we
got drunk.
And now I know
she thinks I'm cool.
She gave me a wink, I wink back. And then I think that we gon' have fun at my spot tonight.
Doing tricks free, we're burnt out.
Got a pass in your side that's empty, wanting it to be your spot.
Put you on my billboard, we can act like the charts, I can end up on top.
Don't smoke, don't drink, that's why I don't be by the bar, baby.
Just looking at you from a distance, looking like a goddamn star, baby.
So my girl don't see me, T-Pain, can I get those keys to the car?
Those keys to the car.
Had to go in, bang, bang, boogie. My cutie and I see you.
Who's he made us drink to drink?
We drunk and
got drunk.
And now I know
she thinks I'm cool.
She gave me a wink, a wink back.
That was Bartender.
Bartender, if you didn't know.
Yeah, by T-Pain, Akon on that. You like that one, don't
he? He does. T-Pain does a lot of songs about drinking. He's got that one with alcohol, remember that?
Yeah.
Not about the alcohol.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'ma buy you a drink.
I think he's got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. I'm drinking way too much. I just drunk my aftershave. He's always auto-tuning as well. So I know that was our Blast from the Past, and it's still on you now.
It is.
The buzzword is fashion.
Fashion. Well, it might come as a surprise for you to hear, Johnny, but I never used to be the fashion god that I am right now.
I can't believe it, sir. I can't.
I used to be like a massive kind of geek when I was in school. Not intentionally. I never wanted to be. I always wanted to be one of the cool kids, and that's, I think that's where I got things wrong. I remember when I was in sixth form, I used to roll around in sixth form with a string vest.
Oh yeah,
with a white shirt over the top, do-rag, and dark tinted prescription sunglasses.
Nice.
Boom.
Looking like a mixture between Urkel and Ratsy Nesbitt. Yeah, tearing it up in school.
Tearing it up.
Ratsy Urkel.
Bearing in mind, I hadn't even shaved at that point, so I still had the bum fluff, the very first bum fluff I've ever had, still on my face.
Nice, nice.
I was in school, and I can't tell you why girls didn't go for me. No. I don't know what it was, mate.
What's wrong with them?
I know. Don't they know there's a shortage? They spell them back.
We're starting. Things are starting to make a little bit of sense now, aren't they?
Writing's in the stomach.
Oh dear.
That's how I used to roll around school. and my mates used to be quite geeky as well, like the guys I used to hang around with in sixth form as well. And so we'd all be in the common room talking about video games and stuff like that.
Was there any quarterbacks that used to roll in and knock your books out your ass? Pick them up. Hey, Urkel, pick them up. Nice.
It was a nightmare. It was one of those things where I wasn't aware of how ridiculous I looked. If that makes sense.
Mm.
To me, I thought, oh, I look quite cool.
Yeah.
String vests are cool.
Yeah.
Like, do-rags are cool.
sunglasses are cool. I got all of them on.
Yeah, at once. Who does that? Who can put it off like me?
In wintertime. Come on.
Who works it like I know? No one.
Exactly. And I'm quite dark anyway. Oh,
so and what's this? Let me sweat out some Lynx Africa in here and just go mega on you. Yeah, that's right. Just explode in the classroom.
I'll answer your question, miss, but I'm looking too good right now.
I look good. I smell good. Right.
You smell that? That's me.
Sweating. It was an absolute nightmare. And I can't remember. I think there was a specific point because I remember it carried on into like the first year of uni. And I remember everybody was kind of getting, doing the things that freshers do and getting with loads of different people. No one was going with me. And I was like, what's going on? I was like, there wasn't that many black guys in my particular uni on my course. And so I was like, I've got the odds of win. I was like, odds is that someone's going to call for me.
I hate to tell you, I know, when there's not many black people around, the odds aren't in your favour. Something I've learned throughout my life. When there's not many of us, we're weaker.
Oh, I learned that.
When there's not many of us, we're not treated like a precious commodity.
I always remember, I used to think I was so cool until I remember going to the opticians to kind of get a new prescription done. And then they were saying, yeah, do you want to pick out some new glasses and that? And I was like, yeah, I want these and I want them tinted. Boom. And I was like, and the guy was like, generally just being a nice guy. And he was like, it's nice that you want these as sunglasses, but do you want ones for like regular day use? And I was like, well, I use these as my regular day use ones, and like tinted ones. And the way he looked at me was like, is that how you roll around? Is that how you roll, fam?
Whoa.
And then it just clicked in my mind. And I was like, I'm walking around in dark sunglasses all the time, dressed in a string vest and a do-rag. I must be the most unapproachable person in the universe. And it just clicked in my head. And I just remembered. I was like, oh, gosh. And then from then, I was, like, asked about contact lenses, got rid of, like, the dark glasses, got rid of the do-rag. Didn't even need... I had a bald head underneath. And there was no need for a do-rag.
There was no need! No need at all. No need at all.
Why did that? Because I remember girls used to come to me and like, oh, let me see your hair underneath.
Oh. But why would you... But would the string vest...
Leave it, Vanessa. Leave it.
I was attracted by the smell of Lynx Africa, but...
Leave it, Vanessa. I told you. He's a waste man.
Awesome. That's basically... I was basically... I was a fashion walking nightmare in sixth form and then going up. But I got out of it, hopefully.
Yeah, you're out. That was a day. The caterpillar grew into the wonderful butterfly that you are now.
Well, thank you very much. But that reminds me of the Jay-Z song "Change Clothes," because it's always got that nice little catchy vibe, and it reminded me of, and just that's when I kind of changed, and that's when I knew in my head it clicked. It was like, what the hell am I doing? I suddenly became self-aware, and I was like, but yeah, "Change Clothes," Jay-Z.
Tell the whole world the truth is back. You ain't gotta argue about who can rap, cause the proof is back. Just go through my rap. New York, New York. Yeah, where my troopers at? Where my hustlers? Where my f***ers at? I don't care what you do for stack. I know the world glued your back to the wall. You gotta brawl through that. I've been through that. Been shot at. Gotta keep a peace like a boot ass. I ain't a new jack. Nobody gon' Wesley snipe me. It's less than likely. Move back. Let I breathe, Jedi Knight. The more space I get, the better I write. Oh, never I write, but if ever I write, I need the space to say whatever I like. Now just
change clothes.
You know I stay fresh to death, aborted from the projects, and I'ma take you to the top of the globe. Let's go.
Change clothes.
Yeah.
And girl, I promise you, no substitute.
Just me. And I ain't gonna tell you again. Let's get ghosts in the phantom. You can bring a friend, we can make this a tandem. Or you can
come by yourself and you can stand them. Best believe I sweat out weaves, give afro puffs like R-A-G-E. How you get if you can move it, back it on up like a U-Haul truck. Then run and tell them ducks you heard Hobie New. He and the boy for real make beautiful music. He is to the East Coast with Snoop is, to the West Coast with faces in Houston. Young Hov in the house is so necessary. No bra with that blouse is so necessary. No panties and jeans, that's so necessary. And why you front on me? Is that necessary? Do I? So you look like a lame who don't understand a bra with a mean shoe game. Who's up on that dot dot and Vera Wang? My, are you insane? That's just
what you want me to do.
Change clothes. No, I stay fresh to that water from the projects, and I'ma take you to the top of the globe. Let's go.
Let's exchange
now.
Where does it go?
Yeah.
And girl, I promise you, no substitute. It's
just me.
Sexy.
Woo.
Woo. Sexy.
So necessary, man.
Woo. Sexy.
That's right. It's a groove. Bring it back. Young Hov in the house is so necessary. No bra with that blouse is so necessary. No panties and jeans is so necessary. Why you frontin' on me? Let's go to my hotel. This don't go well with those S-dots. Gotta stay fresh, my house shot with a respite. Oh no, my, please respect my Jiggy. This is probably purple label or that BBC. No, it's probably Taylor. And y'all know it's acting way too tough. Throw on a suit, get it, tape it up. And let's just
change clothes.
No, I stay fresh to death. Aborted from the projects, and I'ma take you to the top of the globe. So
let's exchange clothes. Yeah. And girl, I promise you, no substitute.
Just me.
Sexy.
Woo! Sing along. Yeah.
Sexy.
Turn your radio up. Woo!
Sexy.
Put your hands in there if you're in the club. Snap your fingers in.
Your boy is back. Your bounce is back. I'm just back.
Oh, yes.
Change your clothes.
That was nice. Change them clothes. Change your clothes, people.
Change your clothes.
Too many people keeping their clothes on. Unchanged. It's a problem of the world. So, Arnell, we are joined by our special guest.
Ooh, who are we joined by?
We are joined by the absolutely sensational Paul Foxcroft.
It's Paul!
Hi. It's weird you going, who are we joined by? I literally sat next to you. We've known each other for 2 years.
Who's this?
Yeah. Tell me his name. Why is he here? No.
Stop following me.
We have known
Calm, that door's locked.
Yeah. We lock all our guests in. We don't. It goes awry too often. So, Paul, we actually originally met you through the improv scene, improvised comedy scene.
That is true. That's the scene where I live. Do you live in a scene? I don't know.
Do you know what? I didn't know too much about improv, other than kind of improv games and like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Before meeting you,
yeah. Whose line is everybody's gateway drug?
Yeah, and you was like the Morpheus. You like gave me like blue pill, and then all of a sudden it opened like my eyes to like a massive kind of community of loads of different kind of things.
I think, and that's also my favourite Lawrence Fishburne role to be compared to.
I don't look like Fishburne. That's another guy.
That was Lawrence at his best. Definitely, you're right.
But the nice thing about improv is there's a really spectacular amount of it happening in London now.
Yeah.
It's great, especially compared to like 10 years ago when I started, when there was Mylot, a group called Grand Theft Impro and the Comedy Store Players, and like little groups around different places, but there wasn't a lot of communication between groups. I probably offended some people by not knowing they existed at the time, but I ask you, in an age where you promote your own shows, whose fault that is?
Yeah, exactly. Lazy.
Yeah.
Work hard.
Why don't you get off your backside and fly?
Now, for the layman's out there who might not be up to scratch on the improv scene, like we went in there, we didn't really know much. but there were a couple of things that I remember you saying very early on when we were first learning improv, which they literally had me and Arnell rolling on the floor. One of them was that you'd had experience where a couple of people would be in the classes that you ran, and like guys were using the improv scenes to basically just get close to girls and start getting all touchy feely.
Oh, yeah, I want to make it really super clear. That has never played in a class I've run. That's never happened in a class I've been involved with. But this is years and years ago, like 10 years back, there was, doing a show where this guy was basically like, oh, but my character would be really handsy. During a show. And he did not enjoy my response to that, which was because he was basically trying to creep on some poor girl who was just trying to do theatre.
I play a really gropey character.
Yeah.
Why do you keep playing the gropey character, Bob?
Hey, the situation just gives me.
Yeah. And then, then my response to that was to play a worse character who targeted him every time he came on stage until he left.
It's almost like the improv police.
Kind of, yeah. It's. I have no tolerance for this sort of malarkey.
I'm not.
I did also use the word malarkey because I'm from the 1940s. Is that cool?
I'm not standing for this malarkey.
Yeah, no. I prefer it when things are swell.
Bringing back that's your raison d'etre at the moment. Bringing back malarkey as a word.
Yeah. Malarkey and a lot of other slang from the immediate post-war era. Yeah. Anything from the last episode of Band of Brothers.
Yeah, cool. Just Dad's Army references, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You just came back from Edinburgh as well, didn't you?
I did yesterday. I came back from Edinburgh yesterday.
Look at it, you came back late.
Yeah, well, we had a very nice time. Because for those of you, the Edinburgh Festival is the largest arts festival that runs in the world. And it's actually, it's an enormous conglomerate of about 10 arts festivals that run coterminously, which started off with the Edinburgh Festival. Which was actually a response, a post-World War II thing. They decided to try and build some bridges in the shattered Europe that were left with in 1946 and invited theatre companies from different nations to do their stuff in Edinburgh. And a bunch of people weren't invited and showed up anyway and did their shows in the back of pubs and stuff like that. And that's how the Fringe started.
Nice.
It was we weren't asked to come here, but we showed up anyway.
What a malarkey.
Not invited to a party. Yeah. We're not going to start our own.
Yeah. And now the Fringe is massive. Compared to the rest of the festival.
It's pretty crazy.
So there's a jazz festival, a blues festival, TV festival, a book festival, and a whole bunch of other things going on at the same time.
They are festive up there, I found that.
They love festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually a festival.
Yeah.
Technically.
A festival within a festival.
So, and you had a good one.
Like a Scotch egg.
Did you have any highlights from the festival this year?
This is the first year I've not done a full festival in, let's see, I first went up in 2001, and I've done, I think, 11 since then, so this was the weird one because I went up for a short burst. I just did 5 shows with Carrie Ed Lloyd, who's my improv partner. And if you haven't Googled her, or if you don't recognise the name and haven't immediately Googled her, then you have no awareness of the future of comedy. Mm. Some great stuff from this year. Joseph Mapurgo, there's Best Newcomer, which Joe didn't get nominated for. He was nominated for the other award, which is just, I guess, just best show.
Best show, yeah.
I always want to say best comedy man or lady. But I think they've got the best show is a more succinct title for that.
Chums it up, yeah.
Nominated for best show, and his show this year is amazing. He's done 3 brilliant sort of but completely out of their character shows. And one of the reviews said it manages to simultaneously be retro and cutting edge. but Joe is, I spoke to him the other day, he's doing a run at the Invisible Dot in right next to King's Cross in, I think it's three, he's doing 2 or 3 weeks, I can't remember exactly what, in October.
Okay.
At the beginning of the month. But Joseph Mapurgo is, his show is called Soothing Sounds for Baby, and the poster couldn't look more disturbing. It's just him staring with dead eyes at the viewer.
So with the improv shows, I mean, one of the things would be that you never really know how they're going to go as well, because it's not scripted, you're making it up as you go, so...
Everyone's a die roll.
Yeah, it could be vastly different from one day to the next, and that's, pretty challenging. For you?
Carrie Ad and I do a 2-hander show. We just get one word off the top of the show, and then a little sort of. Each of us tells a couple of true stories from our life, and we use the word in those stories to start some scenes, but we have no idea where they're going.
Mm.
And so on different nights, we played there were some increasingly fascistic girl guides, of which we played, I think between us we played about six each.
as you do.
Yeah.
It's a Friday night.
Yeah, apparently, I've been told subsequently a really touching story of a Yorkshireman who was a cleaner whose son got his A-level results and didn't do as well as he was going to. And then wind up abandoning his dad to go and live with his mum in America, which was great because in that particular scene we had the audience laughing and crying and then laughing again, which was that's a high point for me because crying is difficult to do.
The power of improv.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, seeing as he is so good at improv, that means he must be ready for the big...
Yeah,
questions.
The big questions.
Well, you put the emphasis on big, really heavily.
Tell him how big, Johnny.
I mean, basically, you won't necessarily know, Paul, but when people come on here, the guests have to, you know, they have to answer the big questions, questions that would terrify most. So big that they've now actually got their own little intro.
Have you got a
tune? A sting?
The big questions. Big. The big questions.
A lot of people would say that's overlong, but I like it.
Yeah.
No, it's just to emphasise how big it is.
We've even got another one as well.
The big questions. Big questions.
So,
how long did that take to make?
We didn't make them. Yeah. We get made for us. I've just been told in my ear 20 years.
That's somebody who values their own skill set appropriately.
Yeah.
I just love that you guys are now at a position where at some point you've kind of gone, can we have a thing where they repeat the word big and then the question, but make it sound epic? It's someone's job to go, yeah.
Oh, no, so we don't even have to ask. It just kind of gets done for us. We're in even better position.
Are you telling me you just get a bunch of random grams sent to you every day and you've got to build features around them?
Well, we basically said we got big questions.
Yeah. We'll help you out, guys. Right, here we go. Are you ready for the big questions, Paul?
I'm as ready as I'm likely to be.
Right, here we go.
Paul.
Yep.
Semi-skimmed or full fat?
Neither. Skimmed.
Ooh.
Boom.
Went for the first.
What, the red?
Yeah, red top.
Red top.
Oh dear.
He's a red top.
I like my milk closer to water.
Yeah. Why don't you just put water in?
Yeah. The water is already in the tea. Basically, what I want from milk, I want opaque water. That's
opaque.
What I want.
It could be water, but it isn't.
Game of Thrones style white waters. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, ideally, I think the next step beyond the next step, if you go full fat, semi-skim, the next step would be android blood.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Absolutely.
It's the logical step.
Definitely not having tea around your house.
I believe is semi-skimmed in this tea.
Oh, you can drink green, you're not allergic.
I can drink, no, I'm not allergic to it, but I just prefer the meekest.
Yeah.
I think you're the first red top I've ever met.
Well, you offered a binary choice there.
I mean, that's why I didn't even offer that choice. Yeah. I was like, nobody drinks that.
Yeah.
But you do.
There we go. Strong answer. You ready for your next big question?
On the back of the milk thing, I had to buy buttermilk for a cake I was making about 2 weeks ago, and that's weird. It's very thick.
Baking cakes, yeah.
It's like super full fat milk. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's almost amber.
What's wrong with semi-skim?
Yeah.
No, the recipe calls for it. I don't make the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you get this recipe from?
The Hummingbird Bakery.
Oh, right.
There are other bakeries available.
Do you remember when the milkman used to go round and there was like that silver top stuff?
Yeah.
Do you remember the silver top stuff that used to have like a wedge of cream at the top?
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, that stuff. That was like...
Is that the one he's talking about?
I know, I don't want to actually make myself, you know, susceptible to arrest from the forces here, but... Hypothetically, I may at one point in my life have run around after a milkman in the morning nicking milk bottles off of doorsteps for a couple of days.
You kept that up for days?
I mean, not successive days, but random. We'd have sleepovers.
Right. You've got to do it randomly. Otherwise, they're cotton onto you.
Yeah, they'll have a map with there'll be a face. They'll put pins in the map and it'll be your face.
Every Tuesday and Thursday.
They were setting up a wire. They were in all sorts.
It's weird. He strikes every other day at number 56 and number 52. Where are we going on number 54, clearly?
It coincides with when he goes to Tesco to get some cornflakes.
Exactly. Bring back. Milkman, bring back. Right, big question then, Paul.
Thank.
If you could bring one person back to life,
Whoa.
Who would it be and why?
Ooh.
try not to be like family members because that might be a bit.
Yeah, nobody knows them as well. For the sake of this, I mean,
can't just go with my nan because then it's not funny.
Well, no, my immediate thoughts, my mate Pete, but if I explore that anymore, it's going to get really depressing.
we'll just play a song over it.
That's fair. Oh, that's cold. Unless you leave the mic open, and if I'm saying kind of earnest, heartfelt stuff about a good mate of mine, and you're playing like I don't know, you're playing the Benny Hill theme tune.
Backing track.
Yeah. A new feature, and the next day, a new set of grams arrive, which is like sadness and irony.
We'd literally be playing, I like big butter coming out. We're coming out of that, and that's why I'd bring Pete back.
Yeah. You know, we went before his time.
Well, that's a great answer there, Paul. Yeah.
No, but so somebody from the public eye is what we're saying. Yeah. That's a good question. My immediate thought was Groucho Marx.
Oh, okay.
Or I was going to say Tom Lehrer, but he's not dead.
Who's that?
Tom Lehrer.
Yeah.
He was an American satirist. He wrote a lot of... do you know Jonathan Coulton?
No.
All right, this is going to take a while, guys. Strap in.
Our listeners are going to be like, I don't know. They've got the access to Google, at least.
Tom Lehrer was a classic American satirist. He was a satirist, not satanist. That's very different. He was a satirist from the 50s and the early 60s who famously... He resigned from... doing any kind of satirical comedy when Henry Kissinger was given the Nobel Peace Prize. Okay. As he pointed out, you can't make this stupider than it is. you cannot make this funnier. There's nothing to satirise here. The stupidest thing that could have happened has happened. I can't make this funnier than it is. And he went back to MIT to teach chemistry. And he stayed there the rest of his life. He wrote a litany of brilliant songs, including the Masochism Tango, a song about the imminent nuclear war that was looming over the US at the time, called We All Shall Go Together When We Go, in the style of an old-timey revivalist hymn. Also the Vatican Rag. but I would I'd bring back Groucho Marx, who was
one of the Marx brothers.
The principal Marx brother everybody knows.
Yeah, I preferred Karl, personally. But
his films were less funny. but Groucho, the main reason I've been reading... The Groucho Letters, which is a collection of his correspondences through the years, and he's remarkably funny. He's got a real bite to his humour as well. Even though the Marx Brothers movies are essentially just madness.
Yeah.
But if you look at his later life, when he was doing stuff like You Bet Your Life, which is just him chatting with people and riffing. He's got a real wit to him. Nice. And a ridiculous moustache, which I can get behind.
None of them are really working anymore. It's just Mark Wahlberg, isn't it?
Yep.
The only one working. Mark Wahlberg. Marky Marks. thank you.
We got another big, big question for you. Right.
All right.
Paul.
Yeah.
You being a comedian and improviser.
That's what it says on the business.
You're known for kind of pushing the boundaries and, you know, and going in the moment. But when was a time that you went a bit too far?
In the context of a show?
Mm.
Ooh. I remember... So, I've told you guys about these events. Every now and then, I will do a show that lasts for more than a day. This started as a tradition in Canada, in Edmonton.
24-hour improv.
53-hour is the 53. Longest I've done.
Oh,
we don't do the 53 in the UK because we tried to avoid it turning into an arms race of who's going to stay awake the longest because somebody's just going to die.
Is there not a point during that where it's just some mental guy in a pub just talking to himself?
Yeah, that happens. Okay. Usually it's between 2 and... 5 on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So we started like Friday night at 7 o'clock. We just did one in June in the Lost Theatre in Stockwell.
Mm. Is there more audience members than participants?
Yeah. Which I don't understand.
Because then I would get freaked out in like 3 in the morning and it's just the two of you and then it's...
No. So there'll be a cast of about 15
hmm.
and we had the Lost Theatre's pretty big and we filled it for during the peak hours and plenty of people around during the wee hours of the morning as well. Mm. People come and like... It's like going to a festival. People bring sleeping bags and sleep in the theatre while they're watching us.
Wow.
Or have picnics and stuff. And questionable personal hygiene. But... there was one show a couple of years ago. We were doing like a space opera thing, and like my mate, I'm friends with the guy who plays Commander Shepard, and he'd come across and was playing Commander Shepard for 50 hours.
Oh dear!
I was playing a guy called Le Duc de Nevers, who was a German bloke from the Baroque planet.
Baroque,
yeah. Unaffiliated with the Nazi planet from Star Trek. Oh my god, I did that. I did a track Wars
era. You're that guy.
To be fair, we actually have to wind this up because we've got to get into the next bit.
Thank God, because this story doesn't end well.
Yeah, good. I've got to bang 2 minutes of Garage on because this is a tune I've been listening to lately. I just can't wait to hear it. And then we're coming back with our Fear of the Walking Dead spoilers on screen bit. It's come up next. Is absolutely a banger. I had to stack that on because a bit of Garage in there. That was Enough Is Enough by Y Tribe. Garage, yeah, absolutely. Right, so we did actually get given a couple of questions earlier for our problem solving session, which probably you're here with us so you can help us. So the first one is, let me get this one up for us. Should have actually had this lined up, shouldn't I? It's terrible for me, terrible.
Oh dear.
A&E, right. I'm glad you are back. This problem has been burning for a few weeks.
Uh-oh.
I have an emergency problem for you. I was on holiday last month.
An emergency problem for a few weeks?
Yeah, exactly. I was on holiday last month with some mates, and two of them have had a massive falling out and haven't spoken to each other since. They keep slagging each other off to me, but they are both still my friends. So, so what should I do? And that's from Oliver, friend of the show.
Oh, it's good old Ollie.
Basically, they've had a big row. Two people rowing, telling Ollie he's the man in the middle. What we're saying, guys, I mean, my advice would be pick the strongest one in the fight and just back them to the end, yeah. And just
how are you qualifying strength in this? Is it the one which one would be the worst enemy? I think is a factor to bear in mind.
Good point. Point.
Yes, I agree.
Just put generally person who's, yeah, I mean, you don't necessarily have to do it on physical strength, but you could just do it on who would be the most troublesome if they were to get on the wrong side of them. Would you reckon, I know? How would you sort this one out?
Well, I agree with Paul you got to back the one that's going to be in trouble for you in the long term, because you don't want them to just come out of the blue and then just destroy your life. So basically, it's like you got to stick with it. Stick with that person, and that's the one you've got to roll with.
Yeah. That's not plugged in, is it?
Well, what I'm going to do... Right, do you know what? I've got to play this two-pack tune, because it's absolutely a banger, and it's going off. So I am going to play this one and be back in two.
Turn it up loud.
Hey, man.
You
That's a remix. You should never remix a Tupac.
It's the wrong one. So
your eyes are bleeding.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, I know.
You should feel strongly.
Some tears.
My ears are fine, though.
We were going a bit crackly there, so I had to bung something on. I'm not even pleased about it. But basically, Oliver, pick the one that is most likely to win in this argument and just back them. Yeah.
It's Darwinism.
It's Darwinism.
It's easy.
It's like if Darwin was doing an Agony Uncle section. That's what we're basically doing.
Which is better evolved?
Whoever's the strongest.
There is one more lending here as well, guys.
One more.
I like wearing moccasins a lot.
What's moccasins?
They're a form of Native American shoes.
Shoes.
Leather.
I'd wear them all day and night if I could. I'd even snuggle with them in bed. The only hitch is my girlfriend doesn't like them. She says they smell and I treat them better than I treat her.
Whoa, if that is even conceivable, your relationship is doomed.
Yeah. You treat your moccasins better than you treat me. What's an argument?
If you treat any inanimate object better than your partner, you're just not into that relationship.
Get out of the bed. That's the moccasin side.
I don't know what to do because I love them so much. I do love her too.
Do you? I think let's look at the ranking system implicit in that sentence.
Yeah. It's an afterthought there. Should I can the mox or the lady? And that's Ted in Byfleet.
Well, Ted, I think it's a bit too late.
Yeah, I think it might be. I think you're getting dumped soon, and you should probably get rid of the moccasins as well because they appear to be drastically negatively affecting your life.
Yeah, but if he does that, he's getting dumped anyway, so he might as well go off of his love, which is the moccasins.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
I think he needs to wean himself off of moccasins onto other soft footwear.
Yeah,
like those shoes that I've seen people wearing that are like foot gloves.
I've seen those. Or some Crocs.
Yeah.
You never get too close to a pair of Crocs. You can't trust them.
I don't trust anyone who's bought a pair
of Crocs.
Yeah. So no medical stuff.
Get away from me.
Don't trust a nurse. Yeah, never. Yeah. Right, because we've had to do those. Nice one from Ted and Oliver for writing in there. So
nice,
you got into it late.
Welcome back.
But we've got literally a couple of minutes to talk about our TV this week, which is the main focus. Fear of the Walking Dead is here.
Yeah, indeed.
You managed to watch that, didn't you, Paul?
Yeah, I managed to catch up with it this morning.
Same here.
Yeah.
Mm. And what we thinking?
I'm really excited about it. With some hesitation. I'm not going to go all in and be like, I love this show.
Same here.
But I think Kim Dickens, who's playing the lead, is brilliant. She's a phenomenal actress. She was brilliant in Deadwood. I've never seen her do anything bad on screen as an actress. She's a phenomenal worker. Do you know what
my bugbear is? It's clear that there's a low budget on this one than The Walking Dead, and that for me is what I'm. I think I'm going in expecting Walking Dead from a different perspective, and I know now that I'm not going to get that, and so that's why I'm a bit like slightly disappointed, because only because like the actors are great, but in terms of what's actually happening, they don't seem as if there's enough drama there. Like for me, it's always Walking Dead. It's like everything's on knife's edge. You don't know what's going to happen. Anything could kick off at any moment. I don't feel that way with this show.
Well, they're doing a building tension thing because if you don't know what it is, it's basically a prequel to The Walking Dead that shows you what happens like from the first sort of couple of instances of zombies showing up to the collapse of society we've seen in The Walking Dead. Mm. And I think there's the problem. Which is, we've seen The Walking Dead.
So we
know there's like, these guys are screwed. And it's just a matter of time of like waiting for them to get screwed. And because of that, they're kind of putting off the big, like, tidal waves of zombies thing. So there's what, one or two in the first episode?
To be honest, though, to offer a bit of balance.
And they're both brothers.
Like,
what's going on?
Yeah.
They're both
two black guys.
I do enjoy it. I'm thinking it's good the way it's set up because I want to see. What I don't like about The Walking Dead is they've ran into the country now, which you would do probably.
Yep.
But I want to see the city and how it just descends. There was not enough city stuff for me. Mm. And I like the little kind of shot away shots where they're showing like planes in the air. Things are like going to happen, it seems like to me. So.
But that's all they've got at the minute is foreshadowing. Yeah. And there's tons of it in there.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of the opposite of, like, you know how in horror movies you'll get a lot of, like, tension-building bits where the frame of the shot is you've got somebody's face camera right and behind them is just a shadowy area and you're like, that's where the thing's going to come from.
Come from there.
And they keep doing that.
I know, they did that with the principal.
They did
that with the principal. It's like, oh, he's turned, he's turned.
he's just hunched over in a room and grunting.
He's just grunting to himself.
So overall, we're reflecting optimistic.
I think optimistic for the time being. It's got a lot to get done in that first episode, and it's 90 minutes long, and there's a lot of structure to put down. But I'm sticking with it.
We're going
to
stick with it. Check it out, guys. One quick email that's come in there as well, and that is. For the blast from the past, it says, my mum used to dress me all in denim when I was a kid with blonde curtain hair and sandals.
Gosh.
I was a disaster. And that's Colin.
Oh, Colin.
Thanks, Colin. It sounds tragic to me, Beth.
You make me feel so much better, Colin.
Yeah.
You can camouflage yourself very well against the sky.
There you go. Yeah, or in the Backstreet Boys as well. Now, Paul, thank you very much for coming on the show. Any quick plugs you've got? Your Twitter, anything else?
A couple of things. You can follow me on the Twitter at Mr. Spider God. That's M-I-S-T-E-R, Spider God. If you get the reference, let me know, and you may win a Twix. Two people have got it correct in the last 4 years. I also do a show with Carriad Lloyd. You can check out a little information about that on carriadandpaul.com. More next week, once I've finished building that website. And I'll be doing stuff at the Haggerston Improv Festival at the end of the month, and wrapping up now.
Perfect. I'm coming to that.
That's you're at INL. Yep. I'm at Johnny I. Cochran. We're at Johnny and INL. We'll be back here next Thursday with Johnny and INL live and loud. See you next week, guys.
Peace.
Quiet.